Welcome to a new episode of Catching Fire, How Teams Win, your favorite podcast about team performance and company culture. Today, we have with us Alex Bournemouth. Alex is the Global Business Segment Director at Molex Germany. Glad to have you, Alex.
Hey, Mohamed. Great. Thanks for being on your podcast. Very much appreciated today.
Thank you so much, Alex, for being here. By the way, Alex is a dear friend of mine, and I know that he's a great leader. And I know that we can benefit a lot from having him here today on the podcast. So, and by the way, I'm thankful to you because, guys, we have to mention right now, Alex was on a business trip and he just came back and he's doing it right now only to help other people gain from his expertise and experience as a manager and leader. Thank you, Alex, really, for jumping here on the podcast and doing it. I know you're having a tight schedule. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thanks, Mohamed. It's great to be on and to help others. So I very much appreciate having the time today to speak to you and your audience. So very much looking forward to our joint conversation.
Thank you, Alex. Let me start with the first question, which you told me about before in 2021, if you remember last year. You told me that one of your goals was to improve your personal relationship with your team members and some other people in your life. What was the reason or the backstory behind this goal? And what are the strategies that you followed also to reach this goal?
Oh, Mohamed, that's a good question. And I'll need to separate or I'll need to break it down in a few elements. And you remember sometimes going to New Year, thinking about what could be done different or how could we change or adapt or I would say be better humans with our employees, but also with our friends and family. So I was thinking it was very much in December 2020. Yeah, now we are 2022, but it was in December 2020, thinking about, how can I be connecting more to people. You know, sometimes we lose track in our work. We get so focused on execution, especially during this pandemic. A lot of the, interpersonal activities were slowing down as we are all virtual, like we are today in this podcast. So I was in belief, I need to do something different and to be able to connect more with people. So for me, it was very much, making up for this gap the pandemic came up with, but also the strong focus we always have on the business and our, execution. To really take more care about the interpersonal relationships. Yeah. I felt I lost something there and I want to make up for this.
Yes. Were you having a specific strategy that you followed in order to make sure that you are doing any deliberate steps, for example, in order to strengthen these relationships?
I think it was, there's no size fits all, but very much what I was thinking of is, on the strategy side is, to really understand what's important, and especially who is important, because we typically know what's our to-do list for the day. We know these 10 things we need to get done. But I think we on the strategy side, really thinking on who's important for you as a person, for you as a team member, for you as a, performer, contributor, and understanding which are the most important people in your network, where you want to, improve relationship and where you want to make sure you also allocate time to them. And then, as I understood, basically, the important things, so that's very easy. Yeah? I think the challenge is, again, what's the important people, and then making time to speak with those. It's not about the next joint, breakfast or coffee in the afternoon. It's more about making sure you have one-on-one time with an individual where you can have an open conversation, deep conversations, and get to know each other in a better way, but also have meaningful conversations. So the strategy I followed was a bit more or less team calls or less group calls, but more one-on-ones, being able really to have time for your team member, but also for your friends and other people in your network. Yeah, it's making up time. That was, I think, the key. And being honest to yourself that this time is then also used for a personal conversation and not for the next to-do list to check it. Yeah.
You told me also, by the way, about this topic that one of the things that you are trying to do when you started thinking about strengthening your relationships with others is that you didn't go all in with everybody at the same time. No, you just tried to choose some few people and start small in order that you are trying to focus each year on some specific individuals to strengthen your relationship with them, right?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, in my personal life, I have... unfortunately, not too much time. And there's some elements. There's a time for the family. Yeah. Yes. If you want to expand, make sure we allocate the sufficient time to our beloved one. We spend time with our families, our kids, our wife. Yeah. So that's very important for me and I'm sure for you too. But kind of understanding who's important for you in your network, in your friends, with the network of friends, I've been very selective. I have not 1,000 friends, but there is a few people I want to lean in, and thankfully we were able to reconnect as after our, I would say, long period of time, we were able to connect and we were able to rebuild, I would say, on our past relationships and expand on this. So I think being selective and don't go all in, yeah? Look for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals you may want to reach out more, you want to have, I would say, a virtual coffee or just meet for an evening call on a Friday or a Saturday. I think being selective and understanding which individuals, I would say, give you energy. Yeah, where do you get energy, but also where can you help them, where can you provide energy to them to help them to go ahead. Not in business life only, but I mean, it's also about us as a person, individuals, that we have good peers to exchange, have meaningful conversations with. So I think that very much helped me that you don't need to connect to 20 people. Yeah, if you have a few, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's most probably will make a big difference that you have people to reach out with and have good conversations. Yeah.
I fully agree. Okay, let me ask you, as a director, you have a global team. I know this. So how do you make sure that your team is engaged? Do you have any specific rituals or routines that you follow?
You have challenging questions for me today, right? I mean, being engaged is you cannot be, how should I say this right? I mean, in a better way. I mean, engagement is like a wave. It's going up and down. Everybody has, I would say, good and bad days. I mean,
yes.
I think important is that overall the engagement is there's more positives than negative in the balance. And we all need, I would say, have to cope with different challenges as a global team, yeah? But also with friends, which are around the world. So, I mean, as a leader with a global team, what I'm trying to do is really to understand the challenges, opportunities each individual has. Yeah?
Yes.
It's business life, but also there may be some personal challenges where we need to help and support them with. And then really important and also reflecting on the personal the topic we had before, how to connect and reach out to people, to spend time with those individuals frequently, not one time a year for end year result, but more on a weekly, each second week, that you spend time with them, understand what makes them tick, but also where you can help and develop them to grow. Yeah? I believe one key is to keep people engaged, is to really listen and understand what they have in front of them, yeah? And then give them guidance. And lead by example, that you can understand or you can share perspectives, areas of focus, or I would say lessons learned you got in your personal life, yeah, or in your business life before, which they may you're going to use and adapt to help them to proceed. Yeah, so keeping engaged goes along with me with, I would say, helping to develop and grow the individuals and to make them, I would say, better humans. To be engaged is a key in this.
So if I understood you correct, you are trying to speak more with your team members, not only at the end of year review or the mid-year review. No, you are trying to do more, and you are trying to get them in meetings or virtual calls with you, where you are discussing before anything else some things relevant to their different aspects of their lives, and not only getting directly to the point regarding their work issues, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's key. I mean, we have been through, I mean, the pandemic changed a lot here. Yeah? I mean, through the pandemic, we got very mechanic in things. Yeah? We go into the call, we have the agenda, and we follow the agenda through, and then we close the call, and we go to the next call. And there could be days where there's calls back to back over the afternoon or over the day. And I think what we need to get back with, if we stay in a virtual hybrid world, is if we make sure the human and the employee, the individual is at the center of what we do. Yeah? So understanding who's important, yeah, for I would say as an individual in your team, yeah, who's helping the organization, who's helping the programs, who's helping others is key. And then you want to make sure that you spend sufficient time to understand the individual and help them to, I would say, to grow and to develop their capabilities, yeah, but also very much as a human on the soft skill side.
You see how many times you repeated these some specific words in your answer in the first question, and the second one is speaking about being human, spending more time with people, trying to understand them on a personal level in order to understand their powers, for example, or their strong points and their weak points, all of these things. And these things, from my own point of view, we are missing it a lot at the meantime in our corporations. Because as I said before, and I'm repeating it over and over, the people, we teach the people how to deal with us. So if right now I have, let's say, a manager, and this manager is coming all the time, I know about this manager that he is all the time on point. He doesn't want a lot of discussions, or she doesn't want a lot of discussions. They want to get to the point directly. They are, for example, maybe a little bit of, harsh on anybody who's trying to open up with them any discussions. Then when I meet this person, even in the corridor, I will not try to say hello, even though he's my boss, because I will be worried if this is wasting his time or this is the right thing to be said or not. But if I go to, for example, your office, and they know that you are giving me the space to speak and that you are willing to listen to me, not only at work in work-relevant issues, but other issues also, then I will be open and willing to share with you also later my problems and challenges, and we can work on them in order that we solve them and my performance can improve. You understand? And this is part that we are missing at the meantime. We are doing it in the wrong way. We are trying right now to say, okay, we need speed. And we are trying to squeeze the speed on the price of the human relationship between the people and each other. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? And this is the wrong approach. No, you are supposed to, speed is, yes, important. Doing what you have to do is important. But at the same time, the human touch is important. And knowing more about the people that you work with is very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you say is, and I think we need to think about this more, I would say, frequently, is it's not a sprint. Yeah? I mean, in the business world or also in the private life, it's marathon, right? Yeah. You want to be healthy, you want to retain individuals, you want to be able to have long-term success, and you're not in for the next hour or for the next day or for the next week. So it's very important to focus individuals, to perhaps take short-term sacrifices to be able to withstand long-term. Yeah? And that also means that I think we as leaders and as humans, we need to acknowledge that not everybody has a great day each day. Yeah? And that we need to, I would say, support our team members and I would say step in if they cannot. And then even if you are perhaps not great at it, yeah, be able to take a task of their to-do list and help them if they have difficult times to execute. Yeah. So it's very much being a partner and a coach rather than being somebody who gives only direction. For sure, we need to give direction, but we need to also demonstrate how this direction can be executed. And I think, yes, there is challenge in our world, in our business and industries. But as more people, I would say, drive change and apply a different model to it, I'm sure and confident that we'll be making an impact on the long term. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you, what do you usually do if you discover that the performance of one of your team members is low, or it was high and then suddenly it dropped? What are you going to do?
That for sure happens. Yeah? And it happens in many areas where I would say the performance cannot only go up. It's like the stock market. It's not going all up. It's sometimes going up and down. And I believe it's important to understand the trend. Yeah. Is it somebody who has been, I would say, performing very strong over a certain period of time and now it's dropping a bit? Yeah. Is it exhaustion? Is it lack of focus? Is it, lower engagement? I think the key is to understand the why. Yeah, and you don't want to, understand the why if somebody is not performing one day. It's more on the period of time. How is the individual developing and performing? And if it's going the wrong direction, yeah, over, I would say, a certain period of time, you really want to understand the why. And it's not like to judge this individual and say, hey, you don't perform. It's very more to understand and have a conversation. And you would have this, so if you check in with your people frequently, you have the process of conversation, you understand why people may perform high, where they get energy, where they, I would say, lose energy. And as a leader, we need to understand the why, because this shows us what makes the people tick. And based on this, we can take an action and I would say provide coaching, consulting, perhaps also job or role change. And I'm sure, I mean, you and your audience would select the right appropriate measure. Yeah?
Yes.
So the why is the most important one.
So let me put it in specific steps. Let me summarize it. You said that at the beginning, you will start to see if this is something happening temporarily or it's happening over a period of time. And then if it's happening over a period of time, you will go to this person and try to understand exactly what's the reason behind this. And of course, I just want to mention point here, coming back to our first 2 points, if you don't have trust already with this person, and if this person is not feeling comfortable speaking with you as a leader because you built this bridge before that you are able to give and take and to discuss, then no matter how, what you're going to do to ask this person why you are not performing well, he will not tell you the truth. So, but this is not the story of this one. I'm just trying to explain to the listeners that building trust before will help you get through this point later. Because when you start to understand the why, the employee himself or your team member will be eager to share with you directly and honestly the why. Not trying to play politics and not trying to hide anything from you because he or she is worried about your about the consequences. So this is the second point, which is the why, as you said. And then the third thing is to offer help through you or through, for example, external support, like, for example, coaching or consulting from outside. And by the way, because I know you very well, I want to give you credit for something else. You are, as a person, is not a person who is only working when someone has a low performance or there is a trouble. No, I see you dealing in different situations with people who are good, but you wanted to help them by offering internal or external support so that they are becoming great. So it's not that they have a problem per se that you want to solve. No, you saw potential and you believe that you can push this person with his or her potential forward. And that's why you involved yourself or you tried to engage with this situation. And this is something that I admire about you. You understand, Alex, really, that you are not waiting only because most of the people only deal when there is catastrophe. Something terrible happened, if they move even. But this is not the case with you. You understand? You are trying to interfere even in a positive way, not when there is a catastrophe, but also to help the person reach his or her potential. So I admire this, really.
Thank you, Lloyd. Very much appreciated. And it's so thank you. Yeah? And I believe you said a very important thing and perhaps this is a topic for another podcast, but we didn't touch on trust. I mean, all what we discussed, it's all foundation is trust. And I want to expand on this shortly because to, I would say, your audience and also future leaders out there, don't sacrifice trust. Yeah, without trust, there will be no, I would say, you will not move the people. So you need to make sure that you have trust and you are trustworthy, but also that this is honest. Yeah, I mean, the trust is there is only one way of trust and it needs to be honest. Eh? And I believe if you focus on this, you will make people support you and grow with you as you help them on the other hand.
Okay. What if you have a top performer? And this, by the way, important question, $1 million question, because it's happening everywhere in every organization. What if you have a top performer, but his or her behavior is toxic? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of, I would say, articles out there on this topic and I would say research, but I mean, for me, it's key. If somebody's toxic to the organization, to the team, this is not acceptable. Yeah? People who are toxic shouldn't have a place in an organization. Because think about like this. I mean, you may have a top performer, which is toxic, yeah, and he or she is doing great, I would say, has a good, I would say, delivery on tasks and to-dos.
Yes.
Great track record, yeah? But what would this do to your team? Yeah? I mean, your team members, they may don't want to go to the office. They may, I would say, quit. They may gonna move the company. So there shouldn't be places for toxic employees and performers in an organization. So I think if there's a toxic one, you really need to take a hard action. First, get the feedback, understand that this toxic behavior is true, and then it's a I would say in brackets easy decision to make.
So you will not close your eyes?
Oh no, I think as a leader, this is a topic where you should never close your eyes. Yeah, because we said before we are in for the long term. We want to make change. Yeah, so you can't sacrifice your full team just to create another great track record with this individual. Yeah? So it's not acceptable and you need to act on it. Yeah? And again, I mean, you may need to have help because this is, if you do it the first time or if it's new for you or you haven't experienced this, there's many people out there who can help you. And but again, I mean, think about if you would be in the team and you would need to deal with a toxic supervisor or a toxic peer, you would feel good about this. And therefore, as leaders, we need to identify those and take action.
I want to tell you my own opinion about it, how, for example, I always recommend or advise managers who have toxic team members to do. What I advise them to do is first to speak with this person, because by the way, this topic or this problem happens a lot, and specifically in sales, departments, in big companies. You understand? You have a top sales performer. He is getting his quota or he is achieving his goals, he or she. And then after this, because the company wants sales, they are, or the leaders want sales, they are more tendent to close their eyes and ignore, because this person is getting money inside the company. You understand? They are bringing revenue. And I always advise and say, this is not acceptable. No matter if you are winning now, you will lose later. Okay? It will affect the morale of the team members, or the other team members, and it will change, let's say, the picture, not the picture, the criteria. It will change the criteria. The people will be, they will not know what should they do in order that they become top performers or climb the career ladder. If they saw that this person is treated in a different way and he's having a toxic behavior, they can think, okay, this is the behavior that we need to follow in order to climb the career ladder or to be the beloved people in this company. And I always say to the people, this is not, or the leaders, this is not acceptable. And the first thing that I totally recommend all the time in a simple words are, first, you, after confirming that this is toxic, you go and speak with this person. This is standard. And then you start understanding why he or she is engaged in this behavior. And here's the fun part. A lot of times he or she doesn't know why he is involved in this behavior. So he will not give you a direct answer, or she, and they can also give you the wrong answer, not because they are trying to mislead you, but because they really don't know. It's exactly if you go to somebody and tell him, why are you buying from a specific website and not from the other website? They can give you several answers, but I promise you, most of them will not be the right answer because they are just buying unconsciously. So for them, they are trying to logicalize the reasons, but in reality, they don't know. They are just behaving in this way. So you try to understand from him or her if they have an explanation. And then after understanding, no, you don't trust this explanation 100% because maybe they don't know by themselves. And then after this, you start as a leader coaching this person first by telling him, okay, let's work on it together. You don't go to this person and tell him, change your toxic behavior, because telling him like this way or something like this, it's like saying to somebody, be more confident. Okay, what should I do to be more confident? I will forget it as soon as I go out of your office. So I have to listen to you and then we'll work on it together. Maybe you need as a leader to spend more time, dedicated time with this person over the next coming 3-4 months, that you are meeting with him several times per week instead of one time or none. And then you start putting an action plan, you and him, but this requires from you as a leader that you understand human behavior and how to change behavior. And then after this, when you are working with this person, step by step, you start putting deadlines. It's exactly like a project. Are we able to change this behavior? How much we are changing this person until this point? If you see small changes, you continue. If you don't see small changes, then the next step is to get somebody from external to try to help. If the external didn't work, then you have to take a hard decision regarding how to proceed with this candidate. But there are four steps. They look simple, but they are not easy at all. They are not easy, but they require attention and they require that we act immediately, because this person can impact a lot of people, and not only in his team, but also in the bottom of the organization. If I have, for example, an organization, a superstar salesperson, and we're dealing as if he's owning the place, no matter how toxic he is, and he's getting the best sales record and all of this stuff, and he's praised by the management, the junior people who are coming at the beginning of the 20s, they will look up to this person. And you will not only have a problem in your team, but you will have a problem at the bottom of the organization, the starters. And they will try to imitate his or her behavior. And then you will have unconsciously another problem at the bottom of the hierarchy. That's why it's important to deal with it.
I think you made one point there, which I want to reconnect with. I mean, looking at toxic behavior, yeah. I mean, if I take you there, it's, I mean, there's toxic behavior which lead to an exit directly. Yeah? There are things which you don't want to accept and tolerate in your organization. People where you see there is definitely no way to change this. Yeah. And then you had things where I would say you may have behavior which can have toxic elements where you say, okay, there's chance that you can, I would say, address and address those. Yeah. See, what's important, perhaps also for your audience is, I mean, there are things which lead to an exit or I would say leave the company because it's not acceptable. Yeah. And there may be behaviors which have elements which can be toxic or can turn to be toxic, which you can work on and address with the coach, consultant, or through as a supervisor's process. So we need to be very careful on where we try to fix and where we lean in and where we take a hard action on the certain employee. Yeah? Because that toxic has a broad bandwidth. Yeah? And we need to be need to take care and to be honest to ourselves once we as leaders assess what's happening and how to deal with it moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Fully agree, Alex. Okay. The last question to you. Companies nowadays do a lot of restructuring and optimization. They optimize processes, merge teams together, and so on. When merging teams together, what is the first thing that a leader needs to focus on? Only the first thing.
Talk to the team members, understand the culture. Yeah, it's. I mean, you merge in. I'm not big in sports, but if you merge two soccer teams, I'm sure there's elements of cultures. Yeah, if you want to bring new team members together, you need to understand the history. Yeah, and how do they connect, and then build bridges. Yeah, just copy and paste old processes from left to right will not do it. Yeah, so understanding, having conversations. Is very important. And if I look at my bag, I would say my past life during my career, when merging teams, the key was to have this deep conversation, spend time with individuals across the hierarchy levels. Don't talk to leaders only. Don't talk to the people lower in the hierarchy only. Have a good session where you can connect one-to-one and really understand what's working good, what's not working good, to build a bridge and connections between the two teams and then form a new top performing team. Yeah,
I fully agree. Really, it's very good. And the funny part is the ironic part is what? See how many times we spoke today and you answer by saying, talk to the other people. We have the answers, but we don't do it. And we overcomplicate the things for ourselves. I was having a discussion with somebody several days ago. Okay, he is a leader in the USA. And I was saying to this person, you know, what's the biggest problem that we have? He told me what? I told him that we enjoy overcomplicating the things in order that we look cool. I don't, for example, as a consultant like me, I have to come to you right now. And it's not enough that I tell you, hey, let's do something together. And you understand that I'm knowledgeable about this thing and I have experience with. No, not enough. The more that I will show you complications, for example, by showing you, hey, these are the 10, 20 steps that we will follow. And I write you abbreviations that you will never understand. The more that you will appreciate and feel, oh, wow, this guy is really an expert. I cannot understand anything that he's writing. It must be hard and complicated. And this is, unfortunately, the trick that we fall in all the time. The key is simplicity. And simplicity means going back to simple roots. And the roots says here, talk. Talk to each other. Speak, as you said it. You answered it several times today and speak about it. Baking relationships, talking and doing. Yeah, it's not as easy as it seems because you need still tactics and strategies behind how to talk, how to address different people. Yes, but the answer is still there. That's what I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm also on my growth journey here. I'm not the level where we want to be kind of as a leader. But I mean, you said it's like, I mean, the key is to really look for having these difficult conversations because they will not go away. The challenge will get worse if you don't address it. So having the difficult conversation with your friends, your family, your colleagues, your peers, your leaders, your supervisors is key. Speak up, yeah. And I cannot imagine where I had cases where it turned worse afterwards. So getting the word out and having a conversation often help to unlock a situation and figure out a pathway forward, which benefits, I would say, your peer, your colleague, but also you as a person. Yeah. So that's key. And I think if we focus on this as leaders, but also with your audience, yeah, to speak more, to have more meaningful conversations, this will do good over the long term in the organizations we have in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alex, really, for answering these questions. I really appreciate it. I don't have any more questions to you at the meantime. And I would like to ask you if you want to say anything to the audience before we close. It's up to you. If you don't have, then we can close this interview together. Tell me.
Yeah, I'm very thankful to be with you and to be able to be on your podcast. I think for your audience, I think be open, yeah. Listen, yeah. Be human, yeah. And balance your, I would say, your communication, your performance, and your, I would say, your style. Yeah. Be agnostic to your peers, your colleagues, and I'm sure you will do good. Yeah. So thanks for being on. Yeah.
Alex Bormus, ladies and gentlemen, the Global Business Segment Director at Molex Germany. Thank you so much, Alex, for being here with us today. And I hope to speak to you again or to get you as a guest here in one of the next upcoming episodes of the podcast. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you very much.